Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you indeed that we are so excited about the Mission Month, Lord, not because we are full-time people, but because, Lord, you have called each one of us to be a blessing to other people, to be the light of the world. So, Lord, I pray that this afternoon session, Lord, whatever comes from my mouth, Lord, is anointed by you. And now we commit ourselves into your hand. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, this month, as I was sharing with you, that this month, the whole month of November, we are doing the series on Missions Month. Today is the second weekend of the Cathedral Mission Month. Last Saturday was the first session, and we have Reverend Bishop Raphael Samuel preaching on the word on living in the midst from Bolivia. He came, he went, and come back to share. He'll be sharing more. He'll be coming to us Saturday to share more. And next Saturday, we'll be sharing on giving birth to a new church, right? Giving birth to a new church. There will be a new church planting in Jurong. And for the last Sunday of this Cathedral Mission Month, it's being a church in mission. And Deaconess Bessie will be sharing some work concerning PKH. So we want to be involved this month, really thinking upon the Word of God. And today, being the second Saturday, I would like to share on the Cathedral Mission Month, this topic of the Cathedral Diffusing Light, right? Cathedral Diffusing Light. This is the book that is the 150th anniversary of the cathedral. We have this. You can purchase this from the Welcome Center. It has the past history of cathedral, 150 years anniversary. Of course, now it's more than 150. So this book is available. So today I'm going to share on what does it mean, cathedral, a diffusing light to the world. The word diffusing, right? Okay, St. Andrew's Cathedral, okay. This place, this sanctuary is pretty new, maybe 10 over years. But the name, this cathedral has been 150 years. What is the cathedral? St. Andrew's Cathedral, a place for what? Very popular for weddings, right? How many of us are married here? No? Oh. All right. You're good? A place for wedding. People love the wedding to get married in the cathedral. But do you know that you're not allowed to marry in the cathedral unless you're a member of the cathedral? And many people ask for permission. No, you cannot take photograph as a wedding couple if you are not Christian, you are not members of the cathedral. What they can do is they can take photograph outside the cathedral. It's open. Yeah, you can do that, but not in the cathedral. So is the cathedral a place for wedding, a place for worship, or even a place also called for funerals? And is it a place for worship, or is it just an empty shell with nobody in, pews, light shining in, but no one in? The Welcome Center is newly, very new. What is the purpose of the Welcome Center? Formerly, it was Welcome Center, but Vicar really had his burden to make it into the Cathedral Cafe. We sell very good food, good coffee. I don't drink coffee, but I drink tea. Yeah. They got very good food. It's a place for people to come in during office hours, come and lunch. It's just relaxed, and there will be music, lunchtime music. They will play some Christian music. The Cathedral Cafe, right? And you can get a book from them. It's trying to reach out, or we call it a welcome center. But if you look at St. Andrew's Cathedral, right? It's a beautiful place, but it can be a monument. It can be a white elephant if it's not properly used by God. Look at this cross in the midst of big giants, right? If you look from top, it's a cross, really a cross. So cathedral is just a tiny little cross in the midst of all the high-rise building. A white used to be quite high, but now because of all the high-rise building, really cover up. But cathedrals still stand as the mother church of the Anglican Church in Singapore. In the night, you can see the cathedral. And today's topic is on cathedral, a diffusing light. Right? The word, there's two words I want to ask to think about. Cathedral, a diffusing light. The word diffusing and the word light. Diffusing means, what does diffusing is mean? It's to scatter, right? Diffusing means is to scatter, to spread, to scatter over a large place. And another version says to spread over a wide area, over a large number of people. And that was it originally. It wanted to plant this church so that it can spread over an area, reaching out to the Chinese people, to the Indian people. And that's where the very first Hokkien church started. And now Indians, and it was Stanford. So the purpose of cathedral was built that it will be the diffusing light, a light that shines over a large area, number of people. And of course, the word light, Matthew 5:16, which is our Christmas at cathedral's theme, let your light so shine before the world that men may see their good work. We are not the light, like John. We are not the source of light, but Jesus is commanding us to be the light. In John chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 says, John, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. John was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Light that shines. And we are called, cathedral, to be the diffusing light around our area. Even reach out to our whole Singapore. And later, it will go out to every nation. As you enter cathedral on the west, on the nave, in the main nave, all right, this is the west door. As you enter in from the baptism pool, the baptism font. Why the baptism font is right in front, is entered through the church, is through baptism. So the font is there. And as you enter, this is called the west side. As you enter into it, you worship. And as you go out, make sure that you look up for this stained glass picture. If you go up by the west, north and south transept, you won't see, but as you march out, you can see this beautiful picture of cathedral, the stained glass. And on top, right to the top, you realize that it's Jesus, the picture of Jesus stretching forth his hand. Okay, what does it mean? Commissioning the disciples to go out. His hand stretched out for the world. It's beautiful, and look at it, it's beautiful. Jesus on top, spreading his hands, and below him are the four disciples, Matthew, John, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The four apostles picture. And what does this tell you? Each time when I go in, and last time when I was there, process out, as you go out, remember my ordination day, as I proceed out, can see the glass, then what does it remind me of? A great meaning as I look. Jesus on top, spreading his hands, and the disciples. To me, the word goes, as we enter to worship, we depart to serve. So each time as we depart here, we are to serve. Right, we're out to serve. So it's a beauty reminding that Jesus spread his hand to spread out the gospel. As we enter to worship, it's not just, oh, a nice feeling today, oh, Baba. We enter to worship, we depart, strengthened by the Lord, to serve him. In the year 1865, and if you have, you buy the book, Diffusing the Light, the history is written down there. In the year 1856, on Pentecost Sunday, which is Whit Sunday, the resident chaplain, William T. Humphrey, said to the congregation at St. Andrew's Church then, he said this, right? He quoted, and this is quoted, so that the congregation of St. Andrew's must, in spite of itself, become a missionary congregation, a center of diffusing to others the light and comfort and peace of the knowledge of Christ and him crucified. On the day of Pentecost, he preached this 1856, and that remains until now, that we are the diffusing light to shine to others. And it happens on Pentecost Sunday, Whit Sunday. A missionary congregation, a center of diffusing light to the others. But throughout all these years, it may have failed to do what it's supposed to do. And I pray that this month, I pray especially for our Saturday service, will be a missionary congregation, a congregation of diffusing light to the rest of the world. And remember, the vision of the Saturday service, one is to reach out to the unchurched, secondly is to build up bonding of family, building up broken family. And this afternoon, I just want to share with you once again, let us look through Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20, and can invite you to read together with me. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 to 20, together we read. Passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boats mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left for the father, Zebedee, in the boat with hired servants and followed him. Simple words, right? There's two things that I want to share with us, two things to ponder this afternoon. Firstly, is that Jesus is looking out for workers. He's looking out from the beginning till now. Secondly, Jesus' call, his calling is very urgent. Right? Jesus is looking out for workers, and we know that, but sometimes we just don't do it. Verse 16 says, Jesus, he was, after ministry, he was passing along. He was passing, you think he was passing, he was looking, in fact, he was looking for people. And passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, but in the Luke Gospel, he borrowed their boat to preach the gospel, and they caught nothing in the night. Later, Jesus said, "Throw your net," and they caught fish. Right? But here in Mark's Gospel, it's a passing along, the word passing along is just not aimlessly looking around, but he had the motive. He knew that he could get people. Jesus knew that he was going to call people. It's the same as the woman at the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus went there with a purpose to minister to her. So Jesus passing along the Sea of Galilee, a very common place where people are very busy fishing, mending their nets. Jesus saw. What did he see? Jesus saw. He saw. Passing along the net, right? It says that passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw. Okay. He saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, was casting net, for they were fishermen. They caught nothing. Right. And then immediately Jesus said to them, okay, passing along, he saw and he called them. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he calls these fishermen to obey him, to join him in a totally new enterprise for the fishermen. No more fishermen, but they're going to fish men. They are not anymore to be fishermen, but they are to be fishers of men. Ordinary people busy doing their own work, ordinary jobs. Fishing is one of the common, especially near Sea of Galilee. Simple folks doing their simple daily chores. The call of Jesus came was least expected by these disciples. They must have heard him or saw him perform lots of things earlier part. There was something in Jesus. The call of Jesus came least unexpected. They were so busy doing their thing. A straightaway call that needed a straightaway response, right? A straightaway call that needed a straightaway response. Now, for these fishermen to follow Jesus, to become fishers of men, they have, firstly, to demonstrate a willingness to allow their identity as fishermen, their status as fishermen, and their worth earning from the catching of fish to put aside. Their willingness to put aside all this, to forsake their self-worth, their status, and their identity is really, actually very remarkable, right? When Jesus said they straight away fall. They are now left with nothing except Jesus. How they survive, the scriptures do not say. Whether they go back some part of work or no. But later, you know, in John 21, Peter says, "I want to go back to go for fishing. I want to go back to his old career." They are now left with nothing when Jesus called them. Their economic stability is no longer their chief purpose. I want to share something. I want to ask Caroline to share something. Each one of us has a calling. Yeah. Caroline quit her job to look after the children when they were born. Her calling at that time was just to look after the boys. Right? For 16 years, she remained faithful to her calling until the boys are old enough. And when we came back from Taiwan as missionaries, then the Lord, through Bishop John Chiu, called her into ministering to families of children with autism. First part, nothing. In fact, she was in a very high career in the dental ministry. But when the Lord called her to take care of the children, her status is totally gone. A homemaker, an auntie, right? From a job, become an auntie, go packet an auntie, carry baby around. But that was her calling. And God may have called us to do something just to really to share the gospel. The calling, after coming back from Taiwan, is to bring light to families with children with autism. And I ask Carol to share.
Yeah, praise God. When God calls, yeah. So I wasn't equipped to be an auntie at that time. Yeah. So actually, when the Lord first called, I wasn't sure. I guess who, as a young lady then, and young lady now, who would ever want to quit a job to stay home, to be a homemaker? In the first place, I couldn't really cook very well. I wasn't a home-oriented person very much. Yeah, so it's like I didn't have that qualification, so to speak, to be a stay-home mom. And I don't even know how to look after at that point of time. Yeah, but it was out of obedience. After when Caris was born, my elder boy was born, our gynae, he wrote in our welcome book, actually, you know, it's like a book, and then he put the verse that says, take care of my child and I will reward you. And that was God's promise to me, that no matter how much that I do not know, or like I would think twice, any one of us would think twice, actually, to depend on one's salary, you know, rather than combine, you know, husband and wife, finances may be better. Yeah, but I think by faith at the point of time, yes, I stay at home and to look after Caris. God never shortchanged. Looking back all these years, God never shortchanged. In fact, Freddie just reminded me earlier on, say, hey, you know, for 17 years you were a homemaker. I said, wow, I didn't realize that. 17 years passed by. God never shortchanged. In fact, if there is a time machine, I would love to go back again. Because it was during those time, this year, those years that the Lord humbled me. Yeah. And then after that, it's like I started to look forward to the Lord who has called me to love and to serve Him. Serve Him where? You know, it's like Jeff and Paul, you know, it's like, oh, I know, in shorts, that kind of stuff. But no, I did not. I serve in the church. Yeah, I serve in the church, and I started picking up children. Yeah, even down the streets in the church. So actually, I thank God. I have two boys. God gave me two natural boys. But I've got many God children, plentiful, in fact. And then plus, we also have what we call vending machine children. Do you have vending machine children? Yeah, no? Okay, this is the term that we use. It's like God really brings children to us. Children, not just young, or some of my age, some older than, yeah. Anyone in that He brings into our life, we share. We watch over them, and we started to connect with every one of them. Like Patrick, actually, you know, Patrick's our godson, yeah. So it's like we started to connect, yeah, in the whole church. I think in wherever that we went, yeah. So, yeah, lah, that's why we have vending machine children. No tong, no? $1 in the vending machine, plop! You know, then one son come out, and you know, plop! Then another daughter come out, you know, so we have plenty food. Yeah, so we really want to thank God for that. Yeah. And then, okay, during the time... Okay. And then during the time also, we nurtured many children. Many of our children actually do serve in the mission field now. Yeah, so we want to thank God. So calling to autism. Okay, after... okay, I wasn't then trained as an autism... specialized in autism then when I was in Taiwan. So that was, but however, God very miraculously brought a lot of children, quite a few actually, children who displayed disruptive behavior into our church in Taiwan. And of course, the parents will come to us, the mother will come to us and share a lot of their story. And of course, at the same time, we also prepare our heart to come back to Singapore when Bishop Chu actually invited us to come back. I think it was then that I prayed and I said, Lord, you know, you have your divine purpose. All my life, I only love you and serve you. I avail myself when I have no qualification in any area. But God just brought me to Autism Center. Yeah, and I thank God, like looking back now, 10 years already, I thank God for allowing me to serve. I not just teach children with autism, I also teach adults with autism. I also minister to the parents and the siblings. Yeah. So how do I know if this is what God has called me to serve? On my first year when I came back to Singapore at the Autism Center, my first batch of students, I was then a volunteer, actually. I volunteer myself every day. Yeah, so within that year, two of my students accepted the Lord. Yeah, children with autism accepted the Lord. When you thought, hey, you know, they don't know anything at all. And these are not Asperger's, they are not high functioning, you know, moderate to severe. So you never thought, but God confirmed that with me, that this is the area that He wants me to serve, and this is His heartbeat. So two of my students accepted the Lord, and I attended their baptism. It was very humbling, very joyful. And then I started to search the Lord. I said, God, you brought me here. What's next? You know, just two of my students be baptized. And I started praying, and I think it was then that the Lord gave me a picture, and He saw when I went to check it out that a lot of our parents with families with autism, they do not go to church. It's not because of anything, but because their child couldn't be accepted in the church community. Yeah, and that broke my heart, you know. And I say, wow, if that broke my heart, how would our Heavenly Father feel? Yeah, so of course then we started praying. And I thank God that a year after a year of prayer, yeah, then we actually came to Cathedral and we shared God's burden to Dean Kwan at that time. And therefore, praise the Lord, that's how we got Shalom Kids. And Shalom Kids have grown. The children in Shalom Kids are not all from our church. In fact, we do have children who are yet believers. But week after week, every Saturday, they come in to Shalom Kids. And when we share with the parents, you know, we have parent support group. So the parents were the one who says, you know, teacher, you know, every night, before my child goes to sleep, must say the Lord's Prayer, must read the Bible, because the teachers in Shalom Kids say, do that. And that was what the parents did. And then they are the one who says, you know, teacher, it is not me who bring my son to church. It is my son who brought them back to the Lord. You know, parents were crying out there, you know, and they just couldn't go to any church. So, you see, if you can, I mean, really, I really thank God for His heartbeat with the little that we have. Yeah, and God blessed us. And now, every week, Shalom Kids, yes, we have at least 20 of our children coming. Oh, now no more kids, you know. Youth, even. We have extended to youth, Shalom Youth. Yeah, so yes, thank God that, yeah, He calls us to serve in this community, simple-minded children and families who need that little nudge, who need a little help, yeah, from all of us. Thank God.
We praise God because whenever God calls us, wherever we are, it may be just like what Carol is, quit your job, just stay at home and take care. And that was the calling. It's like the disciples, give up your fishing and follow me. And she did it. We thank God. And today we have a Shalom Kids ministry in our church, ministering to the parents and children with autism. So in the case of the disciples, when Jesus called the stability, the fishing trade all becomes nothing. They put everything aside and then they follow the Lord. To diffuse the light to the needy, that's what Carol is doing at St. Andrew's Autism Center, even Ling and the Shalom Kids teacher. Not only teaching here, but diffusing the light to the families, God's light. Why choose St. Andrew's Autism Center when other autism centers can pay higher, much, much higher? It's just like the fishermen. For this fisherman to follow Jesus, to become fishers of men, they have to demonstrate a willingness to allow their identity, their status, their worth all to put aside. Like what I say, the economic stability is no more. 3 years they followed Jesus. For Simon and Andrew and their buddies, they must have heard Jesus and they have been touched, they have experienced Jesus, the work, and then they follow him. Never that day when Jesus called the first batch of fishermen, never least expected that this teacher would ask them to join him. And the Lord Jesus is asking each one of us, whatever you are doing, he is calling us to be his light, diffusing the light. Jesus seeks out the first two fishermen, two pairs of disciples, and claim them for himself to the mission. There's no escaping when the Lord calls. But this is not frightening, all right? It is not frightening. It is good news because the Lord saw your willing heart as he walked along the side of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew there, and as he walked along, he saw you, and he's going to call you and to tell you, come, follow me. And if you say yes, I tell you, your life will be so much blessed. The Lord is calling each one of us to join him in his mission, and Jesus is calling us today to join him in a mission to claim back the world. In John chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, it says he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people did not receive him. And now our job is to claim this back for the light, to be the diffusing light. I shared last week concerning my calling to Taiwan, right? And all of us laughed because I was the way Raphael Samuel shared, and I shared mine because I was telling the Lord, if you really called me to this batch of Taiwanese, I don't know Mandarin, I don't know Hokkien, but if you call me, please confirm something. And I told you I was in a double-decker bus and the next bus. I said, Lord, when I open my eyes, don't ever ask the Lord such thing. Open my eyes like Missy Taiwan, and he really did it. I did call Taiwan. And we spent 6 years in Taiwan, and really the bishop chose, they give you 3 years, but we extended under 6 years, 1 year under the Anglican Diocese of Taiwan, but fail, and then we go through OMF. And after 6 years, the bishop says, you must come back. We really lack of clergy. Meaning, if you don't come back, that's it. He will strike off. I won't be any Anglican church. And I tell the Lord, really, I spent 6 years. So I really need to maybe come back. But you show me, all right? As last 6 years ago, you showed me IDD called Taiwan. Can you show me Singapore? Right? And I said, because it was my off day, Monday, I was resting at home. I said, this word Singapore, no need to be so big, Lord, just a little one, but it must be from my children, my two boys from the American school come back. And okay, and then when they come back, ding dong, okay, the first thing Kazimia came is, Dad, I'm going to show you something. A Taiwanese magazine, in the middle of the page is Fly Singapore Airline. Come, Fly Singapore, because they're serving chicken rice. God is such a God. Now when he called you, he was strengthened. You'll never be afraid when the Lord calls. You can bargain, you can talk to him. He will use you wherever you are. You may not be called to quit your job, right? Never. But God, certain time, asks you to be just the light for him wherever you are. I was just worshipping Timothy. I was just worshipping. And then I just felt so burdened for you. The Lord can use your center to be the light for many people. Whatever you are doing, God can use. It's so wonderful when God calls you, it's not frightening. It's a beautiful thing. He never shortchanged you. For 6 years we spent in Taiwan. Because we are not under the diocese, we have nothing, no support at all. We went on our own. We have to struggle to find support. And after 6 years, when I came back, I was shocked that my account in the CPF was zero. No, 6 years, nothing. And to pay up a mortgage for our HDB, we really have to top up. But somehow the Lord provided. And able even to send our two boys overseas for study. Caris in Switzerland, and now Casimir in Canberra, ANU. This morning I was talking to some of the clergy. I said, how do you do it? I said, I don't know. You might ask my accountant, Caroline does the money. And she will ask the Lord. But that's how God deals. When he calls you, he really, you are his co-worker. You don't be frightened when the Lord calls you. It could be in your career. It could be in, he may not call you in full time, right? But he calls. And when he calls, he's looking for workers, right? He's looking for workers. The fishermen, the four fishermen, right? The four fishermen followed. They left their nets. They hired workers. The fishermen respond, and it was total and immediate, right? Total and immediate. They did not question in their mind, how am I going to survive to support my family if I were to call, obey the call? Pastor, let me wait till my mother, because my mother, I still have to support her, my parents. Wait, which means wait till they die, then I come and serve, all right? No, when the Lord calls, he will. Your parents is never the obstacle to serving the Lord. Right, Mark didn't say he worried about what their support comes from, but Mark's point is this is all irrelevant to Mark. Not important. It's main thing to stress to all the readers that the disciples, the fishermen, immediately respond to the Lord. Right? Though many of you here are not called to leave your career and become full-time workers like our staff worker, James, Peter, Gum, Edmund, and Jamie, the Lord may not call you, like call them into full-time. Each of them given up their career to be in full-time. But each of you, each one of us called now to ground our identity to Christ. We are no more whatever we are. I'm sure if you talk to them, to talk to James, Peter, Gum, Edmund, and Jamie, they each one have a beautiful story to tell you how they come into full time. Leaving your career or not is now no longer important. It's your identity as a follower of Christ. Right? You and I are to be the diffusing light, and he still calls us today. And second point, I'm going to end here. Jesus' call is so urgent. His disciples' response is so immediate. See, look at this verse. And going a little further, after calling the first two, Jesus going a little further, then he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their net, in their boat, mending their nets. That means no catch, they're mending their nets. And verse 20, read as verse 20. And go a little further, again he saw. That means Jesus proceed further with purpose to call them more. He going on a little further in the Sea of Galilee, he saw James and John. And then, verse 20, immediately, Jesus did not say procrastinate, so later, maybe let them finish everything. When they're more settled down, I will call them. No. A little go further, he saw them immediately. The urgency of Jesus. If Jesus thinks that his call is so urgent, how about us? Immediately, he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with hired servants and follow him. See how urgent God's call is. Immediately after walking, calling the first two, and then he walked further, looking out for people, and he saw them. Immediately, he straight away, come follow me, and they follow. So I believe that even after this service, the Lord immediately will call some of us, not to full time, not to any, but to respond to it, to be the light. There are many, many people out there just around us that need gospel. As I share many times in the Hokkien worship service, we have seen so many of them coming to the Lord. At the right time when you share the gospel with them, they just, on September the 14th, we share with one uncle, right? And he's accept the Lord. And as I say, I remove all the idols from home, right? And he accepted the Lord. And he is so cute. Each time when we go there, he will salute. We call Tabit, but he will salute to me. That's all. And then on 14th of September, we removed the idols, and baptized on the same day. And last night he passed on, about a month plus passed on. If without sharing the gospel to him, without the call, he may have missed salvation. But at the right time we went and shared. And the wife is still say, Lulu, look at Kito, you pray for him, I will stand one side. Don't ask me. When the time is ready, sigang kawa e kai Kito. And we have been trying. But last night, before the husband passed away, the night before, she told her daughter, I have a beautiful dream. I dreamt of my husband, your father, walking along a path, a beautiful path, very nice path, bright light. I guess inside her, she knew that the husband's going off. And the next evening, 7:20, 7 something, that the husband passed away. While I was in synod meeting, the daughter texted me, my dad passed on. So I left from Changi Village Hotel. Good thing is there's Changi Hospital, so I rushed there and prayed for the family. And that tomorrow night will be the funeral, and Monday, Tuesday will be 5 days Chinese, because you've got lots of relatives and lots of opportunity for us to share the gospel. So the right, tell me, when the Lord called, let's go. Right, cool. There are many people out there. Invite them, just come. You will never know how open people are. Jesus going a little further, he saw the two disciples, James and John, and then who were in the boat again doing their daily work, mending their nets, and Jesus, not okay, let them finish. I don't know whether they're ready. Maybe when they're ready, I'll call them. No. Verse 20, immediately Jesus called them. The urgency of the gospel is so urgent. Immediately Jesus called, and they straight away responded. Right, cathedral, as what it was, a diffusing light. Question that we are to be the diffusing light to the people outside, in a working place, teacher, wherever it is, just be the light to shine in darkness, and you'll see great and mighty things happen. People will use it, Pastor Friday, why you always talk this thing? No, it's our DNA, right? Sharing the gospel is DNA. And yesterday, this morning, the bishop was sharing concerning our ministry not only is limited to cathedral. This uncle that passed away, one of the members is from Saturday's, but the other is from St. John's, St. Margaret. So the bishop was sharing, without mentioning names, said that someone from the east and west have to invite someone from the central, a Hokkien church, to minister to the father. Our ministry extend out. Jabez prayer is enlarge our territory, and God will enlarge it. He will bring people in. And this is Mission Month, and I pray that all of us will be so excited to really to share the gospel. Pastor, I don't know how to share. It's okay. Just tell them that Jesus loves you, and the word Jesus loves you, you can really touch the heart, because it's a very strong affirmation. People need love. And as we share the gospel, don't be afraid that people will come. We're going to sing this song to the ends of the earth. Begin with our neighbor, our working place, and let the gospel share. Be the light, the diffusing light of the Lord. Love.